Welcome to the Race with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. This podcast is called Race with Jesus because in Romans chapter 6, God tells us that in baptism, you are buried and raised with Jesus Christ. We continue our Bible reading today looking at Genesis chapters 32 and 33. Jacob had fled to Padan Aram, yesterday's reading, and now he returns 20 years later to see his brother Esau. Picking it up in Genesis chapter 32. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When he saw them, Jacob said, "This is God's army." He named that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to Esau, his brother, to the land of Seir, the region of Edom. He gave them a command. "Tell my lord Esau, this is what your servant Jacob says. I have lived as an alien with Laban until very recently. I have cattle, donkeys, flocks, male servants, and female servants. I have sent this message to inform my lord, so that I might find favor in your sight." The messengers returned to Jacob and reported, "We came to your brother Esau. Now he is coming to meet you, and he has 400 men with him." So Jacob was terrified and very distressed. He divided the people who were with him, as well as the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two camps. He said, "If Esau comes to one camp and strikes it, then the other camp will escape." Jacob said, "God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your relatives, and I will do good for you,' I am not worthy of even a bit of all the mercy and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant, for I have crossed over this Jordan with just my staff, and now I have grown into two groups. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid that he will come and strike me and the mothers, as well as the children. You said, 'I will surely do good for you and make your descendants like the grains of sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because there are so many.'" Jacob spent that night there and selected a gift for Esau his brother from the possessions he had with him, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys with 10 foals. He handed them over to his servants, each herd by itself, and said to his servants, "Cross over in front of me, and keep some space between each herd and the next one." He commanded the one in front, "When Esau my brother meets you and asks, 'Whose people are you? Where are you going? Whose herds are these in front of you?' then you shall say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. It is a gift sent to you, my lord Esau. Look, he is right behind us.'" He commanded the second group and the third, and all those who followed the herds, "This is how you shall speak to Esau when you meet him. You shall say, 'What's more, look, your servant Jacob is right behind us.'" Jacob said, "I will win his favor with the gift that I have sent ahead of me, and after that I will see his face, and perhaps he will accept me." So the gift was sent over ahead of him, but he himself spent that night in the camp. He got up that night and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he also sent his possessions across. Jacob was left alone, and he wrestled with a man there until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he touched the socket of his thigh, and the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated as he wrestled. The man said, "Let me go. It's daybreak." Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Then he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have fought with God and with men, and you have won." Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." He said, "Why do you ask what my name is?" Then he blessed him there. Jacob named the place Peniel, because he said, "I have seen God face to face, and my life has been spared." The sun rose as he crossed over at Peniel, and he was limping because of his thigh. For that reason, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the tendon of the hip that is on the socket of the thigh, because God touched the socket of Jacob's thigh on the tendon of the hip. Chapter 33. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with 400 men. Jacob divided the children into groups with Leah and Rachel, and with the two maids. He put the maids and their children at the front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph at the end. He himself crossed over the stream ahead of the others and bowed to the ground seven times as he approached his brother. Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, hugged him around the neck, and kissed him. They both wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the woman and the children and asked, "Who are these people with you?" Jacob said, "The children whom God has graciously given to your servant." Then the maids came forward with their children, and they bowed low. Leah and her children also came forward and bowed low. After them, Joseph came forward with Rachel, and they bowed low. Esau said, "What do you mean by this whole camp I met?" Jacob said, "To gain favor in your sight, my lord." Esau said, I have enough, brother. Keep what is yours." Jacob said, "No, if I have now found favor in your sight, then please accept the gift from my hand, because when I saw your face, it was like seeing the face of God, now that you have accepted me. Please accept the gift that I brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have everything I need." He urged him, and he accepted it. Esau said, "Let us get going on our journey, and I will lead the way for you." Jacob said to him, "My lord knows the children are still young, and that my flocks and herds are nursing their young. And if the herdsmen drive them too hard for even one day, all the flocks will die. Please let my lord go ahead of his servant, and I will follow slowly, at the right pace for the livestock and the right pace for the children, until I come to my lord in Seir." Esau said, "Please let me leave some of my people with you." But he said, "Why? Just let me find favor in the sight of my lord." So Esau set out that day on his way back to Seir. Jacob traveled to Sukkot, built a house for himself, and made shelters for his livestock. That is why that place is called Sukkot. When he returned from Paddan Aram, Jacob came in peace to the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, and he camped in front of the city. He bought the piece of land where he pitched his tent from the descendants of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. He erected an altar there and called it El Elohe Israel, which, according to footnote letter G, means God, the God of Israel, or the God of Israel is mighty. This is the word of our God. Two takeaways that we have from today's reading. First, we'll have a little bit of a historical note that Jacob spent 20 years in Paddan Aram with Laban, his uncle, and Jacob's father Isaac is going to be alive for 25 more years. And our best guess is that Jacob eventually goes and sees his father and is reconciled to him much in the same way as he is reconciled to his brother. But then our first takeaway, as Jacob is coming back to the land of Canaan, and God really impresses on him that he can't accomplish anything of worth or of value by his own efforts. And that's how Jacob had always gotten along. But now the tide has turned, and Jacob hopefully has learned his lesson, and it seems that he really has. All throughout his life, whether it was scheming to get the birthright, scheming to get the blessing, and then scheming to trick Laban, and there's that whole intervening selection of chapters that we didn't read about trying to manage the herd and the flocks in such a way that his herds and flocks grew both in size and in strength, and Laban's herds and flocks would have not grown as much and would have been the weaker animals. And so Jacob, throughout almost his entire life, he's constantly working to get a better angle and to work things out on his own. But now, as he goes along, he's at this place called Mahanaim, two camps. And the two camps that he's talking about there is, first of all, a camp of people, and then second of all, the camp of angels that he sees. And that's God's way of showing him that God is with him and that Jacob can't protect himself. And even when he stays up all night and he wrestles with God, he holds God to his promises. And that's a wrestling hold that God can't break. But even at the end, he touches Jacob's hip. He just a touch, and his hip is wrenched out of socket just a little bit, so that he is limping for the rest of his life. And his name is now Israel. And that's what God has done over the course of his life. He has turned this Jacob, this deceiver, into the Israel, the one who has struggled with God and with men and has overcome. And perhaps that's kind of the second point as well, the takeaway, that Jacob has been praying. And then he gets back to the camp and he divides the camp and he sets out some gifts and sends those flocks on ahead. And Jacob does have for us a very good example here where he prays and then he acts, where the prayer that God wants to answer is often answered in action, and often in action that people take for themselves, action that is guided by the word of God, of course. And so, you know, for instance, in your own life, you might pray to God for contentment and to help you with greed or coveting or jealousy, or to help you manage your personal finances. And then you sit down and you read a few books or you listen to a podcast and you learn how to trim your expenses and manage your money more faithfully. There's the prayer and the action, and they go hand in hand. And that's exactly what Jacob does here. The prayer with his Lord and then the action where he tries to mitigate and reduce the possibility for a negative outcome by sending this gift on ahead, then dividing his family up. And he knows, first of all, that the Lord is with him, and that second of all, the Lord's power far supersedes his own power, but that he and his family and his flocks would be at the mercy of Esau if God had not made him favorably disposed toward him. So as you go about your day, think of the things that you pray about, or think of whatever it is that worry that is on your mind today, or whatever has most consumed your thoughts over these last couple of weeks, and pray about it. Don't neglect the prayer, but then act on it. What is one thing that you can do to be a part of the answer that God wants to give for that prayer? And then as you look around at your fellow Christians and your loved ones, recognize that you are part of the answer for their prayers too. God bless your day. I think that's helpful for keeping us anchored in history here, and maybe I'll include one or two of those charts in the show notes from Andrew Steinman's book, From Abraham to Paul. Your pastor should have it on his bookshelf, and if he doesn't, you should suggest it to him. And then otherwise, here in chapter 28, we have this vision of a staircase to heaven, and angels going up and down on it. This isn't a Led Zeppelin song, folks. This is a beautiful vision from God. And Jesus picks up on this in John chapter 1, the very last chapter of John chapter 1, verse 51, when he's having that discussion with Nathanael and Philip. And Jesus says, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And so Jacob, in his vision, he gets this strong reminder that God wants him to come back here to this place, to this land that has been promised to Abraham and to his descendants. But in Jesus, we have an even greater fulfillment than that. Not a place, but a person, where Jesus is pictured as this staircase or this ladder between heaven and earth. He is the one, the God-man, the one bridging the gap between God and us, and he most certainly has. And so as you go about your day, whether you're 6 or 76 or 180 or anywhere in between, we realize that as long as we are on this earth, sometimes we make foolish decisions like Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Esau all did. Sometimes we make sinful decisions and in a very willful way, that it's not some accident, but it's something that we actually have chosen to do. But our Lord has promised to bridge the gap between us and him. He is the one who has come down to earth to us with the intent of baptizing us and nourishing us in his church, that he might bring us to him. God bless your day. Thanks for joining us in the Raised with Jesus podcast, and we'll see you again tomorrow. And if this has been beneficial for you, hit that share button and share us with a friend.